The Air Force had been intending to experiment with placing small rockets or missiles on the Predator, with a view to possibly having a working capability in 2004. We asked them to have it ready for the late spring of 2001. Much has been written about the origins of the Predator unmanned aerial vehicle, and about the bureaucratic battles that followed my proposal to use it as a counter-terrorist weapon in the fight against Al-Qaeda. In their book, The Age of Sacred Terror, Dan Benjamin and Steve Simon quote a senior DoD official as saying that the CIA opposed the initial use of Predator, and the White House, quote, had to cram this down the throat of the agency, unquote. On the issue of flying an armed version of the Predator to attack Al-Qaeda, Benjamin and Simon add that, quote, the head of the Directorate of Operations, Jim Pavitt, was heard to say that if the Predator was used against bin Laden, and the responsibility for this use of lethal force was laid at the agency's doorstep, it would endanger the lives of CIA operatives around the world, end quote. Finally, they note that in a White House meeting a week before September 11th, CIA Director George Tenet, quote, intervened forcefully. It would be a terrible mistake, he declared, for the Director of Central Intelligence to fire a weapon like this, unquote. The New Yorker quotes Roger Cressy as saying of the bureaucratic dispute about the use of armed Predator prior to September 11th, quote, it sounds terrible, but we used to say to each other that some people didn't get it. It was going to take body bags, unquote. It did. The armed Predator flew after Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan only following September 11th. It proved highly successful. During the Predator's trial run in October 2000, an Al-Qaeda cell that had sunk its own explosive-laden boat around the time of the millennium tried once again to attack a U.S. destroyer in Aden, Yemen. This time they succeeded and killed 17 American sailors aboard the USS Cole. For over 3 years, the Counterterrorism Security Group had been concerned with security at the ports in the region that were being used by the U.S. Navy. When the USS Cole was attacked, we were shocked to learn that the Navy was even making port calls in Yemen. Mike Sheehan, then the State Department's representative on the Counterterrorism Security Group, had summed up our feelings. Yemen's a viper's nest of terrorists. What the fuck was Cole doing there in the first place? As in the case of Khobar and the East Africa embassy bombings, the FBI sent out a large team to collect evidence and interrogate witnesses. Ever the hands-on guy, John O'Neill led the team. He ran right into the U.S. ambassador I would least like to deal with under those circumstances, Barbara Bodine. O'Neill could charm a corpse, but he could not find a modus vivendi with the U.S. ambassador to Yemen. The Yemeni government also dragged its feet in the investigation, leading to President Clinton's becoming personally involved. The U.S. government left the Yemenis in no doubt about the two alternative paths that Yemeni-American relations could take. Meanwhile, in Washington, in principals' discussions, it was difficult to gain support for a retaliatory strike when neither the FBI nor the CIA would say that Al-Qaeda had done it. Once again, I proposed bombing all of the Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan without tying the operation to getting bin Laden or even to retaliating for the coal. There was no support for bombing.